We're continuing the Shir on Likutei Halachos, Choshen Mishpat, Chelek Aleph, Hilchas Dayonim, Halacha Dalid, Paragraph Zayin. V'zeh Shom Rabbi Seinu Zal, and based on what we've been learning here now, we'll understand what the Gemara says, Kol Dayon, Shedon Din Emes La'amitoi, Ki'ilu Nase Shutuf La'Kodesh Baruch Hu, B'maisa Bereshis. Any judge who judges who comes out with a true judgment to its highest truth, emes la'amitoi, that's truth of truths, it's as if he's a partner with Hashem in creation. This is a statement in the Gemara. Rav Nosson Zal says, based on what we've been learning till now, we'll be able to understand what the connection is. Because as we explained earlier, this is really what sustains the world, what keeps the world going. Because the whole creation was along the same lines as what we spoke about earlier. We know that Hashem created the world with the Torah. As the Pasuk says, I was the blueprint. I was Hashem's blueprint for creation. That's number one, the Torah. Now number two, Gam Al Yedei Emuna. Hashem also created the world through Emuna. As the Pasuk says, V'chol Ma'asehu Be'emuna. And all of his creations with faith. So that's the second ingredient. Ube'emes, and Rav Nosson Zal says, the truth is, ha-Torah v'ho-emuna kulachad. These two terms, Torah and Emuna, are interchangeable. They're one. Ki shnehem tluyim zeh bozeh, because each one is dependent on the other. Ki i'ef shelekayim es ha-Torah kim al yedei emuna. It's impossible to really fulfill the Torah properly without faith. As the Pasuk says in Tehillim, Kol mitzvoisecho emuna. All of the mitzvahs are faith. And in fact, there are great, great tzaddikim like the Ramban who write that if a Jew fulfills a mitzvah in the Torah because he says it makes sense to him, or it's logical, or it feels like the right thing to do, he's not fulfilling the mitzvah at all. We're fulfilling a mitzvah because Hashem said so. That's why. Hashem said, kill Amalek, I'm buying a gun and I'm killing. Hashem said, don't kill your fellow Jew, don't insult a fellow Jew, I'm not insulting. Hashem says, kill. Hashem says, don't kill. Hashem says, children should respect their parents, so we do it that way. If Hashem said it the other way, if Hashem said there's a mitzvah of kibud yiladim, that the parents should respect the children, we would do it also, no problem. So the main force behind our observance of Torah and mitzvahs is emuna. We're doing it because we believe in Hashem, and because Hashem said this is what needs to be done. V'chein ein kiyum leho emuna kiyum al yedei Torah. And so too, a person can't really have a lasting faith in Hashem without Torah. If he doesn't feed himself a lot of Torah, the emuna will get weaker, chas v'shalom. Rabbein Azal has a small chapter in the Likutei Moharan where he writes that emuna without das, chas v'shalom, cannot have a kiyum, will not have lasting effects. So far we've touched on Torah and Emuna. Now Rav Nosson Zal moves on to the third step. And through the actual creations which Hashem created on each one of those 6 days, that took part in refining the holy sparks that got scattered and got damaged when the vessels broke. The Sifrei Kabbalah tells us that when Hashem originally created the world, before creation, Hashem tried to place his infinite light, into vessels, and the vessels couldn't contain the light, so they shattered. There was a shviras kelim, and as a result, the light and holy sparks got scattered all over. And one of the main missions of creation of the world, and especially mankind, is to try to gather up those scattered and broken sparks, and to try to repair them, and to try to return them to their original place. So Rav Nosson Zal says here, through all the activities of creation that Hashem performed during those 6 days, that was step one in refining those sparks that were scattered as a result of the Shviras HaKelim, Me'almin Decharivin, from the destroyed worlds. We're told that when Hashem first created the world, He created worlds and destroyed them, created worlds and destroyed them before He came to the final creation of the world that we are in. Kayodua, as is known in Sifrei Kabbalah. This obviously is discussed in those Sforim. Nimtza, so Rav Nosson Zal says, if we analyze this, we see Shehoyo B'maisa Bereshis Kol Sholosh B'chino Yisanal, that within creation, all three pieces that we discussed in the previous year were involved. Shehem Toiro, Ve'emuna, U'biru Nitzutzois. All three pieces that we discussed about a person going out to work, about a Jew going out to work, how it's important that they be connected to the Torah, and it's important that they do their business with Emunah, and they need to know that whatever business they're transacting, whatever their work they're doing, is participating in this Birur HaNitzutzos, in refining these holy sparks. Shehein Bechinas Machshova Dibur Maisa. And we showed earlier how these three correspond to Machshova Dibur Maisa. Because when a person's at work, he's supposed to be thinking thoughts of Torah. Even if his mind, his brain has to be involved in his work, it's only the outer part of his brain. The Pnimius HaMachshova must always be connected to the Torah. So that's Machshova. Then there was Dibur, that when a person says anything, to make sure he's telling the truth and to make sure he keeps his word. That's the concept of Emuna. Emuna means faith, and Emuna also means trustworthiness. That I can trust you. If you say yes, I know you mean yes. If you say $150, I know you're not going to change the price later and say no, it's $175. That's the dibur. That's the dibur be'emuna. And the maisa, we said, was whatever actions a person's doing in their work, those actions are playing a role in this birur hanitzutzos. So we see when Hashem created the world, it was exactly the same format of machshava dibur maisa, of Torah, emuna, and birur hanitzutzos. V'chein mevoir bedivrei admor zal bekama mekoymos, and we find Rabbeinu Zal in several different places in Likut Imran tells us shekol ho'asiyos v'ho'asokum v'chol amasu umatn umalochos, that everything that a Jew does in this world, and any business that a person conducts, and any work that they do, heim bebechinas meleches maisa bereshis, corresponds to Hashem's creation, original creation of the world. As Rabbeinu Zal discusses this in chapter 4 in the second half of Likut Imran, Ayin Sham, look over there. Vezehu, Rav Nosson Zal says, and this is all included in the first psukim in the Torah. Bereshis, Bora, Elohim, Es HaShomayim Vesoretz. In the beginning, Hashem created heaven and earth. Bereshis, Hainu Bahatoira. Shenikro, Reshis Darkoi. Bereshis means with the Torah, Hashem created heaven and earth. Because there's a pasuk in Mishlei where it says about the Torah, Hashem konani reishis darkoi. Hashem created me, the beginning of his path. I was the beginning of everything, the Torah. So reishis is the Torah. Boro Elohim es hashamayim v'soretz, kemoisham razal. As the Gemara says, v'ho'oretz hoiso soihu, that with the Torah, Hashem created heaven and earth. Hainu ba'at Torah, Hashem created reishis darkoi. V'ha'oretz hoysa soyu v'avoyu v'choshech. The following pasuk goes on to tell us that the world was all full of all kinds of darkness. Ze nimshach mebchina shviras kelim. That was the result of the breaking of the vessels that resulted in all kinds of darkness. Shehim b'china soyhu, vavoyu, v'choshech, etc. Then the pasuk says, v'ruach elokim merachefes al pnei amoyim, that the spirit of Hashem hovered over the water. Ruach elokim ze b'chinas emuna. The term ruach elokim represents emuna, shehi b'chinas malchus kiyodua. We always say that emuna is malchus. Just like malchus has no light of its own except what it receives from the other spheroids, emuna is something without understanding, without light. We know when we declare our faith in Hashem, we close our eyes. When we say the Shema, we close our eyes. Emuna is like the malchus, which has no eyes, kavirun. Shenikra Elokim. And we know that one of the names of the malchus is Elokim. Kamoshikosev, as the pasuk says, Velokim Malki Mikedem. Hashem is my king from way back. Vesehu Veruach Elokim. So therefore, when it says over there the words Veruach Elokim, it's referring to Malchus, Emuna. Hainu b'chinas Emuna, Merachefes al pnei amayim. Hovers over the water. Which water? Do'oiraisa. That refers to the waters of Torah. Kama Yisham Rabbi Stenisal, as the Gemara says, that the Torah is compared to water. Hainu sheho emuna mekusheres b'ha-Torah. What we see here is that the emuna is attached to the Torah, u'mekabelas mimeno koyach, and the emuna receives power from the Torah. When there's emuna and you attach Torah, you feed Torah into it, then the emuna receives the power that it needs, levarer hanitzoitzin, to refine, to work on those sparks, shehem b'chinas reish pei ches nitzoitzin. This refers to the 288 sparks, shezeu b'chinas merachefes, which are included in the term merachefes, kimavur b'kisvei harizal, as is explained in the writings of the Arizal. The Arizal says that the term, the number 288, is bigimatria chesed plus gvura. Chesed is 72, gvura is 216. Originally, each one had its place, but as a result of the shvira sakelim, there became a mishmash. Everything got mixed up together. Chesed and Gvura got mixed up together. You have the Eitz Hadas, which is Toiv and Ra. Toiv plus Ra is Bigamatria 288 also. So in holiness, it's Chesed and Gvura. On a lower level, it's Toiv and Ra, Chas V'Shom, that get mixed up together. And the Arizal says the word Merachefes, you have the Reish Peches in the middle, and the outer letters are Mem Tov, Mace. Mace, Reish Peches. The 288 sparks died. And we know there's a rule in the Zohar HaKodesh, in the writings of the Arizal, that very often when the word Misa is used, it doesn't mean literally death, it means Yerida. Just like when a person dies, they go down, they get buried, they get put into the ground, so too the term Misa. The Arizal shows in at the end of Parshas Vayishlach, where you have a whole paragraph there which speaks about the Misas Hamalochim, that this king ruled for some period of time, then he died and this one took over. And then this one ruled and he died. And that's talking about a Yerida, the light dropping down a level. So Meis Reish Peches means that as a result of the Shvira Sakelim, these 288 lights that are represented by Ches Gvura, they fell as a result of the breakage of the vessels. And as a result of that, Hashem said, let there be light. Shubachinas oilam atikun, meaning Hashem immediately wanted to see repair. He wanted to see this breakage fixed. Bechinas tikun kol maisa bereshis al mechainon. This refers to the repair of everything in creation, everything being fixed and everything being put in its proper place. Chesed in the right place and Gvura in the right place. Toiv in the right place and Ra in the right place. And then the pasuk says, Vayehi Oyer, and there was light. Shehoyakein, meaning that it happened. Hashem gave the command for everything to be repaired and it was fixed. Shenistakein Hakoil, everything was rectified. Hainu Kanal, as we mentioned earlier, Shalidei Ho Emuna, Shemekabeles Koyach Mea Torah, when the Emuna receives power from the Torah, when the Ruach Elohim, which is Emuna, receives power from the Rishis, which is the Torah, Shezeo Bechinas V'ruach Elohim Racheves Al Pnei Amoyim, and we said the Moyim is the Torah, Ayidei Zeh Mesaknin Kol Hadvorim Shoisim. Through this, we repair, we fix everything that we do. Because through this combination of Emunah and Torah, this helps us to refine and to fix, to repair all of those sparks. And that's what the whole creation was really all about. Shehein bechinas kol ha'asokim v'hamalochos v'ha'asiyos v'chol ha'masumatin sheboilam, which corresponds to all the business, all the work, and all the actions, all the activities that people conduct throughout the world. It's all a microcosm of what took place when Hashem first created the world. Paragraph Ches. V'zeh shom rabbi seinu zal, and this is why the Gemara tells us, kol daino. Any judge who gets pulled into court, where the judge gets taken to court, and they take money out of him, they take, in other words, the court the paskins against him that he has to pay, which means that obviously he did something, he was not right, he's not no longer qualified to be a judge. Because once a judge is getting pulled into court and he has to go before the court, before judges, to be judged in a din Torah, he certainly is not qualified to be a judge. Why? Because we see by the fact that he has to go to court, that shows that he disconnected his activities, his business, from the Torah. As we saw earlier, Rabbi Nozal quoted from Rabbi Nozal that when a Jew has to go to court, the implication is that he left the Torah out of his business. And therefore, he's being pulled into court now to be shown that, guess what, buddy? The Torah is definitely part of your business. We're going to show you now. Therefore, ve'ech yuchal esakein acherim. How can this person serve as a judge to try to fix other people? Lasois me iskeim Torah, to show them, to make from their business Torah. Once we see that he himself messed up in this area, he couldn't make for his own business dealings Torah. That's why he got pulled into court. To the point where this judge had to go before the judges, to show him, to make from his business dealings Torah. Therefore, this person is definitely not qualified to serve as a judge. And this is why when Yisroi was advising Moshe Rabbeinu regarding the qualifications for a judge, for a leader, a judge, he said, V'ato sechezem ikolom, you will look out into the people, you will analyze the people, and you will choose from them anshei chayil, powerful people, strong people, Yirei Elokim, people who have true respect and fear of Hashem. Anshei Emes, people who are really honest. Soinei Botza, people who despise illegal money or other people's monies. V'samto aleihem, and you will appoint these people over the other. These are the ones who are qualified to be judges. So now Rav Nosson Zal explains. Anshei chayil. Interesting that in the Tikkunei Zohar, at the end of the Tikkunei Zohar, at the end of chapter 70, over there the Tikkunei Zohar has a whole discussion on this portion in the Torah. V'ato sechze anshei chayil, and shows how exactly what these qualifications are all about, these four categories, how they correspond to the four letters of Hashem's name, and how they correspond to the four groupings, the Sorei Alofim, the Sorei Meois, the Sorei Chamishim, and the Sorei Asoris, the leaders of thousands, the leaders of hundreds, the leaders of fifties, and the leaders of tens. How all of this corresponds to Hashem's name, Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud, which is Dina. Dina means judgment. Dina de Malchusa Dina. The Tikkun Ezer shows how the Aleph is 1,000. Aleph is one and Aleph is 1,000. So the Aleph of Aleph Dan Yud represents the leaders of thousands. The Dalid is the leader of hundreds, because Dalid in Atbash is Kuf, 100. Dalid is the fourth letter from the beginning of the Aleph days. Kuf is the fourth letter from the end. So the Dalid is the hundreds, the Nun is the fifties, and the Yud is the tens. Everything is found in the name of Hashem. The whole Torah is found in the names of Hashem. So now Rav Nosson Zal explains, Anshei Chayil ze bechinas balei koyach lemelchoma. When it says they're powerful people, this means people who have power to go out to battle. Because we learned earlier, this is a battle. This is fighting the Sitra Achra when you want to rescue those sparks that are found in the possession of the Sitra Achra. Bechinas, as the Pasuk says, Vatazreini Chayil Lamilchoma. I girded myself with power, with strength for battle. Ki hadayonim tzrichin lachzor ulevare hanitzoitzois me'amasumatin. Because the judges, as we explained earlier, have to go back and find those holy sparks that were found in the business dealings of these two litigants who are standing before them, and repair them. Velasois mehamasumatin Torah, and to take the business dealings of those two people and show the Torah in it. Shezeu bechinas milchoma. This takes a battle. This is a war. Bechinas ki seitzei lamilchoma. As the Pasuk's Rabbeinu Zal over there in Likutei Moran chapter 280 at the end shows how all of this is found in the Pasuk ki seitzei lamilchoma aloivecha. Therefore, these judges have to be serious, powerful people. Hainu balei koyach lamilchoma, people who are capable of waging this war, this battle. Levarer hanitzutzos meyimki aklipos, to rescue, to go in there and identify the holy sparks and pull them out, extract them from the Sitra Achra and plug them into the Torah. Yirei Elokim. One of the qualifications there is people who respect and fear Hashem. Note the word, the name Elokim is used. Zebchinas Emuna, Malchus. Elokim, we saw earlier, represented Malchus, which is Emuna. Shenikres Yira. And we know that Malchus is referred to by Yira. Bechinas, as the Mishnah says in Perkei Avos, Il mole moiro'o shel Malchus, ishes reo chayim b'loi. Were it not for fear and respect for government, people would eat each other up alive. So we see again, Moiro, Yira, is Malchus, which is Emuna. As is found in Rabbeinu Zal Sforim many times, that Rabbeinu Zal makes the connection between Emuna and Malchus and Yira. And we also find this in the Pasuk, Vayiru ho'omes Hashem. The people had respect and fear for Hashem. Vayaminu b'Hashem. And they believed in Hashem. Those two go together, Yira and Emuna. Ki Yira b'chinas Emuna. Those two go together. Next, the third qualification, Anshei Emes, honest people. Ze b'chinas balei Torah. This means Talmidei Chachamim, people, masters of Torah. Shenikreis Emes, the Torah is called Emes. Kama shekosuv v'nosan lanu Torah Emes. Hainu shehadayonim tzrichim kol hasholosh b'chinos hanal. Here again we see that to be a judge, A person needs all of these three qualities, the emuna, the Torah, and the power to do battle. Lekasher machshavtom el haTorah tamid. Number one, to always have their minds attached to the Torah. Number two, ulehischazek beemuna yisera, and to fortify themselves with major emuna. And this gives them the ability to do the third step, which is repairing those sparks. And through this, the judges go ahead and repair that business dealing which those two people who have come before the judges now, whatever business they were doing, whatever issue they have that they're arguing about, the judges repair that now. They repair the fact that these people had distanced it from the Torah. Ki ato, because now, heim poiskin al zeh din emes, din Torah. These judges are declaring a judgment of Torah on that business transaction, whatever it is. And they're taking that business and everything and creating Torah out of it, creating a Torah decision from it. And this is why one of the other requirements that's listed there is people who despise money, the wrong kind of money. Upirish Rashi, Rashi HaKodesh says over there, Shesoinim Mamoinam Badin. They hate their own money when it comes to judgment. Kehahi damrinan, Rashi says, as the Gemara says, kol dayona demafkin minei mamoina bedina lav dayonahu, that any judge who gets brought to trial and he's found wrong and he's got to return money, he ain't no judge. He ain't qualified to be a judge. Hainu kanal. This goes back to what we explained earlier. Shehadayon. A judge has to be a person who's qualified to take any business of any Jews and find the Torah in it, be able to reconnect it to the Torah. Mikol shkein, then for sure, he's got to be very careful about his own business dealings, his own personal business dealings, the judge. That he should never have to get pulled into court. That he should never disengage his business dealings from the Torah. That he should be solidly connected all the time to the Torah. Because Rabbeinu Zal said in the Kutimran, when a person's business dealings are not connected to the Torah properly, that person will end up in court. Hashem will drag him into court to remind him, to make him aware, hey buddy, you forgot to include the Torah in your business dealings. Therefore, to be qualified to be a judge, he's got to be a person who hates botza, that he would never allow himself to get into a situation where he's got to go to court. So that he should not have to get pulled into court, as Rashi HaKodesh explains over there. Paragraph Tess. Now Rav Nosson Zal explains a mission in Pirkei Avos which many rabbis struggle with. And now we'll understand what our rabbis tell us in Pirkei Avos. Ukisheyu habaleidinin oimdim lefonecha. The mission is speaking to judges, and it tells the judges that when two people come before you for a judgment, yihu beinecha kirishoim, you should look at both of them as bad. Each one did something wrong, and that's why they've been brought into court. That's why they're in court. Ukisheneftorin melfonecha. However, when they leave the court, when they've accepted the judgment of the court properly, yiyu beinecha kizakoin, you should look at both of them as righteous people. כשקיבלו עליהם הסדין, if and when they accepted the judgment to the court properly. והוא תמוה לחיירה. רב נוסן זל says, this seems to be very strange. מדוע מתחילה שניהם כרשויים? Why does the Mishnah say that the judge should look at both of them as rishoyim? Mechoto hazakai bedin. When the judges made a decision that you're right and you're wrong, you don't have to pay, you have to pay the money. When the judges, then the one who was right, the one who they call right, why did we tell the judges in the beginning to look at him as a rasha? Question number one. Question number two, v'gam mepneima achar kach shneim kizakoin. And number two, why does the Mishnah say, and when they accept the judgment, they're both right? What do you mean they're both right? He was wrong and he was right. Achal pi anal nicha. However, based on what we explained earlier, we'll be able to understand this Mishnah perfectly. Ki bevadai batchila shneim korishoim. Because when they both come into court in the beginning, both of them are like Rishnot. It doesn't say they're both Rishoim. It says like Rishoim. They're both not perfect. Why? Afilu hazakai v'atoyen emes. Even the one who's really right and who's telling the whole truth, even he, there's something wrong with him that caused him to be dragged into court. Ki al kolponim, Pogam bo esek shaloi v'richa koi me'atoyra. Because regardless, there's something wrong about how he's been going about his business, about how his business dealings have become distant from the Torah. V'loi kisher machshavtoi la Torah b'shas amas umatn. He did not bind his mind, he didn't attach his brain solidly to the Torah while he was conducting business. Shemachmazeh nenash, and it's for this reason that he was punished, shehuchrach lovi ledin Torah, that he had to take off a day from work or a week from work, and he had to come into court, which is embarrassing, and he had to go through that. V'alkein bevadai nechshav gam hu kerosha, and therefore he is also considered like a rosha. He also did something wrong here. Ki ikr tzidkas Yisroel, hi ha-toira vo-emuna. Because when we call a Jew a tzaddik, when we say the Jews are tzaddikim, it's all about two things, Torah and emuna. Bechinas, there's one pasuk that says, v'tzaddik be-emunoso yichye. A tzaddik lives with his faith. U'machmashe Yisroel kula maminim b'nei maminim. And because of the fact that Jews from birth are believers, descendants of believers, al kein nikroim kulam tzadikim. That's why the Torah says about us that we are all tzadikim. Kama shekosuv va'amech kulam tzadikim. The Jewish people are all tzadikim. Why? Based on our heritage, our tradition. What is our heritage? Our heritage is faith. We are known in the Gemara as Ma'aminim b'nei Ma'aminim, believers who are descendants of believers. Aval ze shepogam be'emuna, whereas this person, who obviously has a defect in his emuna, u'bahatoira, and in his Torah, b'shas masumatan, during his business, there was something lacking in emuna, there was something lacking in the connection to the Torah. And that's why he had to be brought into the court, even if he is right. Therefore, he is considered, when he comes into court, we look at him like a rasha, because the fact that he's in court means that somehow he disengaged, he disconnected from emuna and Torah. Aval achar kach, however, at the end, when they're leaving the court, shneihem kezakoyin kishekiblu aleihem esadin Torah, we look at both of them as righteous people if they accepted the judgment of the Torah. Why? Because by accepting the judgment of the Torah, vaydezeh chozru v'tiknu mashekilkelu, they repaired what they had messed up earlier. V'chozar v'nasa me'azamasumat n'toyrah. They converted their business. They returned their business to the Torah. By accepting the Torah judgment, which the judges imposed on their transaction, on whatever business dealing they had. Therefore, at that point, they're both considered like righteous people. Listen to this now. Watch how Rav Nosson Zal explains this. Because even the one who was found guilty, who was found wrong, the one who has to pay, even which means that when he first came into court and he was screaming, I'm right, he's wrong, he's a liar, he's a thief. So even though in the beginning he was saying some sheker, he was a little bit false and a little trickery there, trying to show that he was right when he wasn't really right. Nechshav ato kezakai. Now he is considered pure, he's considered good. Achar shekibel esadin. Once he accepts completely the judgment of the rabbis. Venase mikol hamasu matin shaloi Torah. And therefore, his whole business dealing gets converted to Torah now. Why? Ki gam mitchila. Because even when he first came into court and he was telling the whole story, making it seem as if he was 100% right, Rav Nosson Zal explains the only reason why he fell to that level, that he was able to look at wrong as being right, is because of that pigam, meaning al yidei shelo kisher machshavto el haTorah. It was based on the fact that he didn't attach his mind to the Torah. And because his brain wasn't attached to the Torah, his emuna fell. His emuna, his faith, and his trustworthiness took a fall, took a dive. And that led him to tell a little lie, or to change the story a little, or to try to fool somebody here, shehu hepechu emuna, which are all the opposite of trustworthy, of true trust and faith. Rav Nosson Zal explains now, ki Yisrael einam chashudim al sheker gomor, because Jews are not suspect of out and out lying, changing the truth straight out. Ki she'eris Yisrael lo yasu avla. Because there's a pasuk that says that the Jewish people are not capable of doing wrong. V'lo yedabru chaza, they do not speak falsely. V'ikar ha-sheker shel ha-toyen sheker nimshach me'eze tos. But one second, this guy came into court and he's screaming, he stole from me, he's a liar, he's a thief. What do you mean? And then the judges find out that he's the liar, he's the one who changed the story, he's wrong. Rav Nosson Zal explains, that's coming from a mistake. It's not based on out and out rishus evil. It's based on a mistake. Shetoya bi'atzmoi, he's fooling himself. Umayra laheter, and he comes up, he makes excuses that justify his being allowed to change the truth a little. K'moisham Rabbi Seinuzal, as the Gemara says, Chazoko ein odo meyus ponov. We have a rule that a person doesn't have the chutzpah to deny the truth. That if I lent you $100, a Jew does not have the chutzpah to look the lender in the face and say, no, you didn't. But one second. We have it on video. The guy came into court and said, no, you didn't lend me, or I paid you back. So, the Gemara says, he's just trying to get out of being forced to pay right now because he doesn't have the money right now. So therefore, he's trying to get himself out of the squeeze right now with pure intentions that a week from now, a month from now, he's going to come back and say, you know, I thought it over, and I really do owe you the money. Here you go. That's one possibility. Oy sofik milvi yeshana yeshlo yalov. Or in some cases, people who have been doing business together for years, even though right now I owe you $1,000, but I'm not so happy to pull it out of my pockets. I'm figuring, you know, I think a couple of years ago I once lent you money and I'm not sure if you gave it back to me. So because of that, he's sort of justifying the fact that he's denying that he borrowed the money, now he's saying he paid it back, because he remembers that, again, all along the way, we were always lending and borrowing from each other. So it's very possible that one of the times you didn't pay me back. And all of these tricks, all of these thoughts and everything, and the person finding loopholes to try to get out of having to pay, nimshach machmashaloi kisher machshavtoi la Torah. The reason why all of these thoughts are going through his mind and all of this stuff is all because he didn't really attach himself to the Torah solidly. He didn't make sure that before he goes to work, he makes sure to learn some Torah. And when he comes home from work, he makes sure to learn some Torah. And even at work, he does not disengage completely from the Torah. His mind is still connected. He's thinking whenever he can about what he was learning before he came to work or what he's hoping to learn when he gets out of work. His mind is always, because he didn't have that solid connection to the Torah, because if he did attach his mind to the Torah in the business that he was doing, his emuna, his faith, his faithfulness, his trustworthiness would have been protected. That he would never come to make these kind of mistakes, to be myred, to find loopholes and excuses, or to make up all kinds of excuses to justify his denying that he ever borrowed the money, or his claiming that he paid it back, or he doesn't really owe it, you know. Shein pigam hu emuna, whereby all of these mistakes and excuses are all really examples of pigam emuna. Al kein, therefore, ato, now after the whole trial is over and the judges render their decision and the guy says, okay, if this is what the rabbis say, forget it, I'll pay. Achar shekibel olav esadin Torah, now that he accepted upon himself this judgment, ukvar chozar venase mehoesek shaloi Torah, and his business, this whole business transaction, everything, got converted to Torah, got plugged into the Torah, kvar nestakein hapigam shaloi. So the problem got fixed. Sheikr hamasu matan meha Torah, where it became clear that all of our businesses come from the Torah. And that's where his original mistake and his lies and everything came from being disconnected. Because now we see that his business, his transaction, was brought to the rabbis, was brought to the Torah, and it's following the Torah. Alkein gamhu nechshav kezakai. That's why we even look at him as being pure, he's a good man. V'ato mavoyeres ha-mishnah al-mechoyna bora kachama. Rav Nosson says, now we can understand that Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. It's clear like the sunlight, perfectly clear. Paragraph Yud. V'zeh sham rabbi seinu zal, and now we'll understand another statement in the Gemara. The Gemara says, sheyire hadayon ke'ilu gehenem psucha mitachtov u'ke'ilu cherev al tzavorayim. That when a judge sits down on his chair over there, he should imagine as if the gehenem, the gates of gehenem, are open right below him. They're open waiting to swallow him up. And a sword is there waiting to cut him to ribbons. The judge, to cut the judge to ribbons. Because this is a major, major battle that the judges are waging. The fact that the judges have a responsibility to take this case that's brought before them, that's just business. It's talk potatoes or real estate or insurance or whatever it is, and make Torah out of it. V'zeh yodua, and this is known in Sifrei Kabbalah, shehanitzoitzois shebeiskei choil nechozim bohem haklipois vasitrachra harbe, that those sparks that are found in business, in real estate, in agriculture, in all of those things, those sparks, the sitrachra and the klipois and the tumah, are very attached to them. Shemishom toikif hamulchoma, shel kol odom boilam azeh, and that's what the major battle of every Jew in this world is about, the battle of earning a livelihood, the battle of earning a living, the battle of buying and selling, buying food, buying an apartment, all the transactions, that whole major battlefield that people go through on earth. Ubifrat, and especially, shezeh ho'esik shel ha'masumatin shebo lefnei ha'dayonim kvar nivgam al yidei elu ha'balidinim shepogmo bo ivrichos me'torah. Especially when we're talking about a case that's brought before the judges, that's brought into court, where Rabbeinu Zal explained, there's a defect there. Right away, that shows that there's a pigam in emuna, there's a pigam in the Torah, and that's what's forcing these guys to come to court now. These guys who are going about their business merrily, traveling and buying and selling, and suddenly everything stops. They have to come into court in front of the rabbis, and suddenly they have to be shown that they lost their connection to the Torah, and now we're going to have to reconnect them to the Torah. Alkein bevadai hadayonim haroitzim lifsoi din Torah be'emes. Therefore, these judges who want to try to understand the case properly and to come out with a true, proper psak halacha, psak din, tzrichkin lachgur atzmon heitev lemelchama. They have to gird themselves for a major battle. Lilchoim im haklipois, to do battle against the forces of Tuma, the klipois and the sitrachra, shesoviv hanitzutzois, which surrounding these sparks, shebozeh ha'isik, that are found in this particular business. Shenivgam, which was damaged, these sparks were damaged, alidei elu abalidinim, by these two guys, who were not connected to the Torah the way they're supposed to be. Alkein, tzrichin lirois keilu gehenim sucha mitachto. This is why the Gemara says the judges have to picture as if the mouth of Gehenim is open right under them. Ukeilu cherev, and if a sword is stretched out for them. Shehu b'chinas achizas haklipois vasitrachra. This all represents the klipois and the tumah shesoviv hanitzoitzois, which is surrounding these holy sparks and keeping them captive. Shetzrichin lilchoy mimohem, whereby these rabbis now have to do battle against the sitrachra in order to try to extract those sparks and reconnect them to the Torah. Paragraph Yud Aleph. Now Rav Nosson Zal quotes another Gemara. You see here, this question comes up very often. People ask, including in Breslov. People know that Sifrei Chassidus are very special, and Chassidus is koilel all branches of the Torah. It has Chumash and Gemara and Medrash and everything. So there are people who think that if they learn Chassidus, they don't need to learn Halacha, they don't need to learn Gemara, because Chassidus has everything in it. Whereas in actuality, you see that Chassidus is built on Chumash and Gemara, and the more knowledge of Gemara that you have, the more knowledge of Halacha that you have, you can have a much, much better appreciation and understanding of the Chassidus than if you don't know the Gemara, if you haven't learned those Gemaras. V'zeh shom Rabbi Seinuzal, this is what the Gemara tells us, Rav. There was a rabbi in the Gemara whose name was Rav, who was really a student of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Zal. His name was Rabbi Abba when he lived in Eretz Yisrael. And when Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Zal passed away, he went to Bavel. And he became Rav, the Rosh Yeshiva Rav, the great rabbi who was the Bar Plukta of Shmuel, Rav and Shmuel throughout the Gemara. The Zohar HaKadosh tells us that he lived for 400 years. Rabbi Abba lived for 400 years. One of the outstanding rabbis in Shas. And that's why there are certain instances where they try to disprove something that he said, because Shmuel, we know, was an Amoira, a lower level. There are Tanoim and Amoiroim. The Tanoim were the earlier rabbis. The Amoroim were the later rabbis. An Amoira can never disagree with a Tana. So when Amoira says something, and then we show that a Tana in a Mishnah or a Braisa disagrees with him, that Amoira is finished, usually. But there are several places in the Gemara where Rav says something, and then they bring a Tana who disagrees with him, and the Gemara tries every which way to disprove, and when it can sometimes, the Gemara says, okay, no problem, Rav Tana hu upalig. Rav is a Tana, and therefore he can disagree with a Tana. But what do you mean? Rav lived in Bavel. Rav was with Shmuel. They were Amoraim. You're right. Rav's life spanned these 400 years. So the Gemara says, Rav, ki osi lebedina, Rav, when he would come to court, Omar Hochi, he would say the following, Biru'us nafshi liktola, because my soul wants to die, nafik, I left home, v'tzovei besa lesu David, and I'm not concerning myself at all with what I have to do at home, with all the tzrachim, all the needs that I have at home, v'reikon lebesa oil, and I'm going to come back home also empty-handed, because I ain't getting paid for this job. The judges in those days did not take money at all, number one, and certainly didn't accept no bribes, no nothing. So he said, I left my house empty, and I'm going to go home empty also. Rav Nosson Zal says, Hainu kanal. This goes back to what we explained earlier. Machma sheyoda shehu melchama gedoyla im haklipois shesoviv hanitzutzois. Because of the fact that Rav knew that being a judge means conducting major warfare, major battle with those klipois, those forces of tumah that surround the holy sparks, shebeho esek, in the business, shedonim olav, which is going to be brought now before these judges. Bechinas, as the pasuk says, soviv reshoim yishalochin. The reshoim go round and round. They encircle the holiness, trying to swallow it up. Al kein omar kein. That's why Rav said what he said. V'zehu, and this is what he meant when he said, V'tzovei beise lesu David. I'm not taking care of my obligations at home, my responsibilities at home, to make sure to make money, to have parnasa. V'reikon lebeise oil. And I'm going to go back home also empty. Hainu, sherav, machmas ribui an v'sanusoi, hoya oimer al atzmoi, Rav, because of his incredible modesty and humility, he said about himself, "Shegam hu ba'atzmoi eino yotzei dechevosei betzorchei beisoi." That I don't fulfill my own personal obligations regarding my own home. She'oise she'tzrichen lekasher kol iskei beisoi la'Torah, whereby every single Jew, even the judges, have to see to it to attach all of their personal dealings to the Torah. Vehu ban v'sanusoi, he with his great humility, Omar said, she'ein ezoich lezeh b'shleimus. I haven't even taken care of my own personal business, meaning I haven't seen to it to attach that to the Torah properly. Vezehu v'tzovei beisei, hainu hitzarchus beisei, the needs of my own family, ein ezoich lezeh b'shleimus haroi. I don't even do that perfectly. Dehainu lekasher hakoil el haTorah, to make sure to attach everything to the Torah. Vezehu v'reikon lebeisei oil, and I'm going to go home empty-handed. Ki kol hadvorim yegeim ve'enom b'shleimus, because everything is a battle, a struggle, and everything is imperfect. V'hakoil reik v'choser b'lo haTorah, and everything is lacking without the proper connection to Torah. Ki rak haTorah v'ho'emuna hishleimus kol advorim. Because it's only Torah and Emuna that are perfect, that are complete, that are whole. Rav Nosson Zal, in another place in the Kutei Halachos, in Hilchos Umnin, The word uman in Hebrew means a craftsman, a person who repairs broken things, a person who takes things that are incomplete and makes them complete, makes them whole. That's called an uman. And Rabbi Nisal explains over there the reason being because the only thing that's really complete and whole in this world is emunah, faith. That's the most whole and complete thing in the world. And anyone that's lacking emunah is incomplete. And anything that's lacking emunah or lacking the proper connection to the Torah, which is emunah, is incomplete. V'alkein. Rav ba'anvesanuso ishomar shaloizoch hadayin lekasha akol haTorah. Therefore, Rav, in his state of humility, said that he was not yet zeicher to attach everything to the Torah. Al kein omar. Therefore, he said, "Varekan lebeis oil, and I'm going home empty." Ubishvil zeh hayokosholov leishe bedin Torah, and that's why he considered it very difficult to be a judge, to have to sit on a din Torah. V'omar b'ra'us nafshi liktola nafik. Do I want my soul to go out to be killed? Ki omar eich eske lahaloi so esik sholehem v'las menu Torah. How in the world will I succeed in elevating their business dealings to make Torah out of it? Me'achar shani ba'atzmi lo yizachisu l'zeh b'shlemus. When I myself haven't even fixed my own house. My own house is empty. I haven't perfected everything in my own house to make it all lasik mikoliske beisan and mikoliske choel Torah, to make all of my dealings, all of my physical materialistic dealings into Torah. V'ato mechubar umekushor hinyan heitev. Now we understand the different pieces of what Rav was saying. Ki baloi zeh ein pirush v'keshel advarav. Because without this explanation, it doesn't really make sense what he starts off saying, what he finishes saying. That I haven't taken care of my own personal stuff. How can I sit on a din Torah? Hayale al adas sherav hitstair al shemavatel satzmei meitzorche beisoy leishe bedin Torah. Would it enter into our minds that Rav was complaining that how can I sit and serve as a judge on a din Torah when I haven't even taken care of my own personal needs yet? Would Rav place his personal needs before a din Torah? We know the Gemara says that when a judge sits on a din Torah, it's mamish like matan, it's a very big thing, it's very choshuv. So would Rav say, how can I sit on a din Torah when I still have some personal business to attend to? Achal pianal mevoyer heitev mevorin yin heitev bekesher yofe kemin choymer. However, based on how we explained it, we understand the whole thing perfect. It makes perfect sense. Rav wasn't complaining about the gashmias, about the materialism. He was saying, how can I think that I'm qualified to be a judge here, which means to take their gashmias and turn it into Torah, when my own house is not perfect? I haven't perfected my own house yet. But again, he was saying it only out of his great modesty. He was one of the great tzaddikim of the generation. Hold it over here.